नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम दी 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 50 टेक्स्ट नंबर 45। तम दृष्ट्वा चिन्तयत् कृष्णः संकर्षण सहायवान् अहो यदूना वृजिनम् प्राप्तं हि उभयतो महत् तम दृष्ट्वा चिन्तयत् कृष्णः शङ्कर्षणम सहायवान् अहो यदूनां वृजिनम् प्राप्तं युभयतो महत् तम दृष्ट्वा चिन्तयत् कृष्णः शङ्कर्षण सहायवान् अहो यदूनां वृजिनम् प्राप्तं युभयतो महत् तं दृष्ट्वा चिन्तयत् कृष्णः संकर्षण सहायवान् अहो यदूनां वृजिनम् प्राप्तं युभयतो महत् तम हिम दृष्ट्वा सीइंग अचिंतयत थॉट कृष्ण लॉर्ड कृष्ण संकर्षण बाय लॉर्ड बलराम सहायवान असिस्टेड अहो आ यदुनाम फॉर द यदुस वृजिनम a problem praptam arrived he indeed ubhayatah from both sides from kalyavan and also from jarasant mahat great translation and purport when lord krishna and lord sankarshan saw kalyavan krishna thought about the situation and said Ah, A great danger now threatens the Yadus from two sides. Purport. We may note here that although Sri Krishna had defeated Jarasandha 17 times against tremendous odds, he did not immediately annihilate the army of Kalyavan, thus keeping intact the benediction granted to Gargiya by Lord Shiva, as explained in the previous purport.
Om Adhyanatim Randhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhan Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So I beg the blessings of all the senior devotees who are present here today, senior and junior, both of them. So the topic that is going on today is the attack on Mathura by Kalyavan Jarasandh. So many speakers have spoken a lot. It's nearing the end of this chapter, and the speakers before have done complete justice to the purport. So many different angles, so many different dimensions. So anyway, I will try to, there's not much left at least concerning the topic, and I don't want to really digress. So I'll see how much, maybe a short class today. Okay. So there's a very nice verse in the Shastras, which says, Gayanti Devaha Khilagita Kani Dhanyastu Ye Bharat Bhumi Bhage Swarga Pavargas Padahetu Bhute Bhavanti Bhuyaha Purusha Suratvat. That even the demigods, Gayanti Devaha Khilagita Kani Dhanyastu Ye Bharat Bhumi Bhage. So the demigods are saying, are praising, are glorifying the holy land of Bharatvarsha. Why swarga, apavarga, that you can attain the heavenly planets, you can attain moksha from this place, Bharatvarsha. Swarga apavarga, spadahetu bhute, bhavanti bhuyaha, purusha swaratvat. And even the gods want to descend amongst the humans so that they can take the benefit afforded in the land of Bharatvarsha. In my initial days of Krishna consciousness, we heard an example, an analogy explaining the structure of this material world, and how this is like a 14-storied building. But the difference is that it has got 7 floors above the ground, 7 floors below the ground. So naturally, if you want to get out of the building, then you have to come to the 7th floor, because the first floor is below the ground. 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th. So they have to come to the 7th floor, the ground floor. And those who are in the 14th floor also have to come to the ground floor, is it not? So that's the arrangement actually. That the facilities in Bharatvarsha is such that there's not too much enjoyment, not too much luxury. At the same time, there's not too much discomfort, not too much suffering. So it is a very nice balance, a mix, which motivates the conditioned soul to take up to the process of Krishna consciousness. So the earth plane is very suitable, and within the earth, Bhumandala, Bharatvarsha especially. And what to speak of the demigods who aspire to descend in this material world? Even the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna, he finds something worthwhile in this world, Bharatvarsha, that motivates him to leave Golok to come to this world. Now, what can motivate the Supreme Lord to leave Golok to come to this material world? What is that special thing? So it is explained that there are two main activities, very important activities, that the Lord performs here in this world, which the Lord cannot even in the spiritual world. And what is that? The facility for the Lord to be suckled by His mother. The facility for the Lord to enact His childhood pastimes. That is only possible in this material world. Because in the spiritual world, He is always a 16-year-old young boy. So there is no birth, there is no appearance. He doesn't appear there. He is always eternally 16-year-old. Nava Yauvanam cha. So the Balya Leela is so special that even the gods and even the Golok Vasis come here specially to take darshan and get the special darshan, which is not available even there. And the second very important pastime which the Lord wants to perform here, specific to this place, is the pastime of fighting, Viryaras. Even that is also a mellow, to fight. But the problem is that he doesn't have, sufficient, he doesn't have demons there. In the spiritual world, there are no demons. So naturally, he has to come here. And that's why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the episode of the cursing of Jai Vijay appears, where Jai and Vijay within their heart, they develop a desire, understanding the Lord's desire to want to fight. Jai Vijay develop the desire to serve the Lord in that capacity. And when the Lord understands the desire of Jai and Vijay, that they want to serve Him in that way, then the Lord arranges for them to become cursed by the 4 Kumaras, and then they come down, and as they are falling, the Kumaras who had cursed them, they feel remorse and regret. So they ask Jayan Vijay that, okay, fine, we want to give you an option whether you want to be born as demons or you want to be born as demigods or some devotees. Whereas devotees, you could live for 7 lives, and as demons, you can live for, say, 3 lives. So what do you choose? And they think that, yes, as demons, we can serve the Lord. Better we become demons. And not only that, they choose it because it is a quick trip and back to Golok, back to Vaikuntha. So we see that this place is a very special place. The Bharat Varsha, very, very special. Of course, there are so many inconveniences in this. You know, today India is not what it was previously, but still, if we see from the perspective of spiritual life, it can afford us the best facility. You know, recently, a few weeks ago, I was sitting here in the temple hall, waiting for my Shayan Darshan Kirtan, and I was practicing on my harmonium, a particular tune. So some few boys who had come here to attend the Shayan Darshan, he comes to me and he asks, Prabhuji, aap kahan se hain? Aap kitne saal se join kiye hain? So they asked me all those details. So I told him and I asked him, where are you from? So he said, I am from Mathura. And I said, whoa, you're from Mathura? Wow. So, where in Mathura? So he said, just a stone's throw distance from Janmabhumi. Wow, I said, you are from Mathura. Wonderful, amazing. You must be visiting that place since childhood. He said, kya batao Prabhuji, main ek baar bhi Janmabhumi nahi gaya. Not once he visited Janmabhumi. Not once. I said, how can that be possible? You're living so close to Janmabhumi, you didn't visit Janmabhumi. What to do? That is my situation. But anyway, then I got a job here in Kolaba, and it's so much of misery he's experiencing. And somehow he got in touch with devotees and he came here to the temple. And now he's forced to come and attend Aarti and all those things. So what he couldn't do in Mathura, he's come to ISKCON temple. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, you see, people are told about the importance of the place. Because till the time that people do not understand the value, they will take it for granted. That's why people, you know, it is said, Prabhupada says that people in Calcutta, they go to Haridwar to take bath in the Ganges. Why? Because they don't understand the importance of the Ganges in Calcutta. So therefore, it is a very important aspect. And here we can see in this pastime that the Lord is relishing Viryaras to the fullest capacity. And we can see that Jarasand comes along with a huge army, 23 Akshani Senas, 18 times he comes, 17 times he comes, and Krishna kills all of the whole army, only leaves him. And we know that in Mahabharata, in the Kurukshetra war, there were 18 Akshani Senas. And in the Mahabharata, there is a statement made by Yudhishthir to Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra asks him at the end of the war, how many people were killed? What is the tally? Do you have a count? And he said that there were 1,660,020,000 people died in the battlefield in 18 days. That was just 18 Akshani Senas. And Jarasandh comes with 23 Akshani Senas. 18 times. So let us assume that, say there were 18 Akshani Senas in Jarasandh's army. And he comes 17 times. So you multiply, say, 1,660,020,000 into around 17. You come to the figure of around 40 billion. 40 billion people actually were slaughtered personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The world population today is 6 billion. 40 billion soldiers died that time. World War II, 40 million people died only. So, we can understand that this is history actually. Bhagavatam is history, and we can understand that the world population was far greater 5,000 years ago. Far, far greater. If just 40 billion people died, what could have been the world population at that time? Because in the World War II, 50 million people constituted 2% of the world population. That means 2.5 billion was the world population in, World War II times. So, that is how much? 98% of 40 billion. How much is that? Inconceivable. So it was the Lord who actually personally killed them all. And like Kartavirya Arjun and Parshuram, another incarnation of the Lord who comes and he kills 21 generations of all the Kshatriyas. Massive killing, slaughter. So the modern wars today that people are fighting is nothing, insignificant. In the wars in Turkey and in Syria and in Gaza and in Ukraine and all those wars, we hear, and people many times they ask devotees, why doesn't the Lord appear? It's high time, see the violence, see the crime, see the deaths. This is nothing. Nothing. We have to open the Bhagavatam to understand what was the violence at that time. And if the Lord can kill so many people, understand the number of the problems at that time. How many sinful people occupied the earth due to which the Lord has to appear to kill them? That's why Gargacharya in the Garga Samhita he says, Go Devata Vipra Sadhunam Rakshanaya Vai Vedanam Rakshanaya Vai Tanum Dhatte Harim Sakshat Bhagavan Atma Lilaya. Go Sadhu Devata Vipra Vedanam Rakshanaya Vai Tanum Dhatte Harim Sakshat Bhagavan Atma Lilaya. Why does the Lord appear? In order to give protection. Go Sadhu Devata Vipra and Vedanam and the Vedas to give protection to these people. We cannot even conceive the violence which had taken place. And Garga Samhita, it explains, gives an account of the war in details, that how this so many soldiers were being killed that a river was created 200 miles wide, 800 miles long. 800 miles long. Wow. So amazing. So Jarasandh, he comes and along with another demon called as Kalyavan. So right now, the Lord is considering that it is not a good time to fight. And he apparently is making arrangements to transport the Mathura Vasis to Dwarka. And within one night, he prepares Dwarka and transports all of them over there. Again he comes back to Mathura and Kalyavan faces him and Krishna runs away from the battlefield, and subsequently we know that he gets the name Ranchhod. To run away from battle is a very, very disgraceful activity for a Kshatriya. Very disgraceful. But the Lord still did it. And that's his Leela basically. I remember once I was doing a program and I was giving a talk. I spoke in my talk that how Lord Shri Krishna was a coward boy in Vrindavan. And after my talk, I said, any questions? And one Prabhuji raised his hand and he says, Sir, I would like to tell you one thing, that what you said was wrong, sir. I said, what is it? I said, you said Krishna is a coward, but please, he was not a coward. I said, what do you mean? It's said in the Shastras that he was a coward boy. He said, no, please don't call him a coward. He was a very brave boy. I couldn't understand what he is saying, and then devotees told me that, he meant was coward, C-O-W-A-R-D. C-O, and I said it's not C-O-W-A-R-D, what I meant he was C-O-W-H-E-R-D. He was a cowherd. That's what I meant. He said, oh, sorry, I didn't know. It actually happened. You know, I couldn't believe it that somebody could be so naive. I mean, come on, please. he was a coward boy. You should be knowing that. He was in Dubai for a long time. I said, it's high time you were in abroad. You should come to India for some time. So suddenly Krishna was not coward because he, how can he be a coward? Somebody was saying that in his Mahavishnu Rupa, he's so huge and gigantic, universes appear from his pores of his body. For him to kill these Jarasandha and all, like insects, amoeba, bacteria, they don't even exist for him. But then he just appears a human-like form and he's doing all these wonderful activities in order to make it appealing. It is Aishwarya Leela, to make it very pleasurable for his devotees to relish the discussion of the Lord. So therefore, we find that the consideration is not anything else, but simply, as it is explained in this verse, that this Kaliyavan. Now again, if you see, this is the world war we are talking about. Our modern history books speak of two world wars. But actually, this is also a history book which speaks about many, many world wars. Now, Kaliyavan was, I think, from some Arabia or some. He was a Mlecha, Yavana. He was a terrorist, basically. And he happened to, to invade Mathura. And even Jarasandha was a terrorist. He was a king of Magad. And both were terrorists because they were supporting another terrorist, Kansa, who happened to kill. He was an infant, what do you call it? Killing children? What do you call that word? Infanticide. Yeah? So he, Kansa killed 6 children and he imprisoned his sister, wanted to kill her also. But Jarasandha couldn't see any fault with him. He was absolutely innocent and he could see, he was finding fault with Krishna. So he was also basically a terrorist. Politician, he was a politician, he was a king. So Kaliyavan was another guy who came along with his many Akshani Senas. Now the history behind Kaliyavan, as it was explained previously, was Kaliyavan was carrying the grace of Lord Shiva. Kaliyavan was the son of Gargiya. Gargiya was the son of Gargacharya. That means Kaliyavan was the grandson of Gargacharya, in one sense is guru of the Yadus. And the Yadus happened to offend the Yadus. I'm sorry, the Yadus offended the Gargiya once. And Gargiya was, there was some argument between him and his brother-in-law. And the Yadus happened to laugh at him. So Gargiya decided that I should take revenge. So he performed tapasya and Lord Shiva appeared and blessed him that, okay, you will have a son who will be the cause of inconvenience to the Yadus. And then subsequently, we see that the Yavan king, he didn't have a child. He called this Brahmin, Gargiya, to impregnate his wife. And a son was born to him. And he was Kaliyavan. So that inconvenience which the Yadus had to face was due to their offense to this Brahmin, Gargiya. So the Bhagavatam explains here that we should be very careful. That we should not offend devotees. The Yadus were the personal family members of the Lord. But the Lord says, the devotees, nobody can trouble the devotees. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says that if my own arm is causing inconvenience to the devotee, then I will lop off my own arm. So what to speak of his family members? If he's ready to lop off his own arm if it is an inconvenience to his devotees. So here we can see that how we have to be very careful about our offenses. Very careful. Yeah. So as a result, Lord Shri Krishna made this arrangement. So we can see that Kaliyavan and Jarasandha were great administrators, great kings. What the Bhagavatam teaches us from this example? What are the lessons we can learn from this episode? Jarasandha, as we see, he was... 17 times relentlessly, very persistent. He was not ignorant, very learned man. He knew the Shastras. He was not passive, very active. He was not ignorant, he was not lazy. He was faithful, he was willing, he was inspired. He had all the traits what a great leader should possess. He took good counsel. When he was defeated the first time, he was going back and all the kings together, they counseled him. They said, oh, whatever happened, it happened because of your past prarabdha karma. And somehow convinced him with spiritual logic, with shastric logic about karma and everything, and somehow convinced him that he should again wage a war against Krishna. Come to think of it, that such a great administrator, such a great politician. So therefore, the message here is that, you know, as we heard, you know, in the initial days of Krishna consciousness, they used to tell us that all abilities, all these competence that we may have is actually useless if we do not have Krishna consciousness. If you don't have the wisdom, if you don't have the spiritual knowledge. Somebody gives you a check with a lot of zeros, it's all zero. But you put the one, then the number of zeros, the more the value. Shankaracharya says, Kshama mandale bhupa bhupala vrindai sada sevitam yasya padaravindam manaschena lagnam guru rangri padme tathakyam 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 tathakyam. That you are a great administrator, a great politician, the great kings of the world bow down at your lotus feet, but your head doesn't bow down at the lotus feet of your guru, then what is the value of your accomplishments, of all your skills and all your enterprise? Useless. So that is a very important message. Today you see so many administrators, they have a lot of skills, very empowered people. That's why somebody said nicely that who's a politician? Who's a politician? One who shakes your hand before elections and shakes your confidence later. Politician, you see. So much for politician. Jarasandh was a great administrator. Can you imagine he was defeated with his 23 Akshani senas and somehow he was convinced that he can win against Krishna? That is the power of association, you see. Association can convince you of anything. Anything. He was on a suicide mission. You can see all these suicide bombers, fatalistic people. But he was not fatalistic. Jarasandh was not fatalistic. He was not come on a mission of a suicide regimen. But he had hope, you know, that I will win probably this time. And if once, twice, three, positive attitude. And imagine, positive thinking. 17 times he comes and wages a war against Krishna. Wow. Think about it. Amazing. The power of association. So you have bad association, you'll go the wrong way, and you have the association of devotees, you'll be saved. Therefore, he had many friends. Today, you see, we have many people are having a lot of friends on Facebook. Today, it seems that people are valued by the number of friends they have on Facebook and WhatsApp. More than number of friends. You open a Facebook account, you're going to get 200, 300 friend requests without sending one Facebook request. Just people will just, you know, Google your name and then probably find and send you friend requests. So many people are having unlimited friends. But what's the use? Bad association, one sense. If you don't have, that's why somebody said it well. Now if you don't, what's the point in having so many friends on Facebook? All that's required is you have one friend who can look at your face and read it like a book and ask you, what's up? What's up? What's going on? You know. So that one person has to be there, the guru, the sadguru, the bona fide guru who can actually tell you, who you have given him the authority to guide you when you go wrong. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that this world is full of many sampradayas. Four sampradayas, he says. Five sampradayas. You know, the four bona fide sampradayas and the fifth is the vanchaka vanchita sampradaya. The sampradaya of the cheaters and the cheated. And there was a very amazing, when I heard this for the first time, I was really amazed. Made a lot of sense. You know, when I heard that there is another sampradaya called as the sampradaya of the cheaters and the cheated. Why do sincere people get cheated? You know, they are sincere seekers of spiritual knowledge. Then why do they end up with some people who counsel them wrongly and they go into the wrong place and, you know, they learn some hodgepodge philosophy? And it all boils down to the motivation that people have. And that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Vanchaka Vanchita Sampradaya, which means that every person must judge his motivation, that what do I want? We should ask ourselves, what do I want? Am I willing to give what it takes to get the best? Am I willing to give what it takes to get the best, to get the highest? Or we just want a facade of dharma, just want a facade of being called a devotee or a, you know, religious person? Are you willing to pay the price? And a wonderful example is given, like a person who wants to purchase gold, but he doesn't want to pay the price, then what will he do? Then he will go to the market and purchase a fake gold. It looks like gold, but it's not so costly. So there's a wonderful black market, you know, the grey market or whatever you call that, you know, the black market, where they sell duplicate iPhones and Samsung phones and all these, tablets. They look like the original, but they are not original. And they don't cost as much. And people get the satisfaction of, oh, I also have a tablet, I also have a phone. And people go around posting, you know. Why? Because they don't have what it takes to get the original stuff. And what is the original stuff? That is Krishna consciousness. But it is a heavy price we have to pay, a sacrifice that is involved. Just as people go to the doctor. You know, when people go to the doctor, they don't ask, well, you know, are you going to give me injections? Are you going to prescribe operation? Please, if that's what you're going to do, I'm not going to come to you. I'm going to change my doctor. No. People just go to the doctors to get a cure for the disease. They are focused people. But somehow when it comes to spiritual life, we become complacent. We forget why we have come. Just like people when they get admission in colleges, they forget why they come there for. Everything else goes on except studies. Similarly, we may also forget our goal, why we have come. Don't ask this question. So we see that Jarasandh, he was not sincere in his motivations. And therefore he didn't have the guts to ask what is reality, what is the principle. We have to be principle centered, not some bureaucratic setup where people just, you know, oh praise be, you know, we are surrounded by yes men and we like that when people just appreciate us for what we are. And we don't like to be told what we should be doing. Don't tell me what. Like in the morning I went to pick up these devotees who came from UK. So a lot of luggage and we had to board it on the car. So there was no space, a lot of luggage, no space. And we were afraid that the luggage would fall off. So I thought I will just suggest to the driver that he should keep a rope, you know, in the car. He gave me 20 logics why the rope should not be kept in the car. 20 logics. I said, it doesn't cost much, Prabhu. It's very cheap. You just get a rope, keep it somewhere in the car. You have a carriage. If you have a carriage, why not keep a rope? You're not supposed to keep luggage. This is too much luggage. It's not supposed to be kept on the top. I said, even if you have a small luggage, you can have a rope and tie it when you keep it on the top. You can be relaxed when you drive the car. It's not going to fall off, right? But authorities told me, don't keep a rope, don't keep luggage. And there are so many logics. And I said, my God, how difficult it is to convince somebody to keep a rope in the car. And I reflected that, you know, we all have this, me included, that we don't like somebody telling us what we should be doing. We think we know everything. I've been driving a car since a long time. What's the problem? Who are you to tell me this? Don't like to be advised. But that's why Jarasandh didn't have that Sadguru. That's why it is explained, you know, in the Shastras. Guru na sasyat, swajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat, daivam na sasyat. Na mocheyate samupetya mrityu. That God is not a God. That friend is not a friend. The guru is not your guru. The father is not your father. Your mother is not your mother. Your husband is not your husband. If he does not guide you on the right path and take you to the path of salvation and the path of Krishna consciousness, we must have somebody and to tell us what when we go wrong. And Jarasan didn't have that. He had huge following, fan club on his, you know, website. All of them praising him. Oh, wonderful you are, you know. But unfortunately, number four, he was misguided. And a very important message is that we should seek good advice and counsel. Be open to advice, and welcome and present ourselves in such a way such that devotees will feel happy in order to come and tell us, give us an advice. Sometimes we may present ourselves, even though we may not say anything externally that please don't tell us, but just by our mannerisms, we may show that, I'll be angry if you give me an advice, so please stay away. So our mannerisms should be that way, because that's what exactly happened with Jarasandha. You know, the very important lesson. So what happened here was that we can learn so many lessons. I mean, we can go on and on, but here we can see that the result of an offense to a devotee caused all this trouble. For the 18th time, when Krishna decides that now I have to take the Mathura Vasis to Dwarka. Offense. We have to seek blessings. We have to be humble. Very important thing. Otherwise we end up in grave trouble. If we can understand, there's so many examples we can see in the life of Arjun, that when Arjun in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he kills Bhishma, you know, in some illegal way, which was not warranted by the codes of war. So at that time, after the battle, the Vasus, Bhishma was the incarnation of a Vasu from the heaven, they come to Ganga and they consult her and they say, this Arjun, he has unlawfully killed Bhishma and we cannot tolerate it. So with your permission, we are going to curse Arjun. We are going to curse him to die. Ganga says, so be it. So Arjun gets cursed to die. And we know Arjun is the greatest of all devotees, personal associate of Lord Shri Krishna. And we see that when Arjun was with, Arjun had four wives, just in case we didn't know. Draupadi, Subhadra, Chitrangada and Ulupi. So there's a very nice story that once when he entered into Draupadi's room, when Yudhishthir was with Draupadi, and because they had a pact, they had an agreement that when one husband is with Draupadi, the other should not enter. At that time, Arjun happened to enter because of some requirement, urgent requirement. He had to enter. So he had to follow that regulation. And he had to go into the forest practicing celibacy. He had to be away from Draupadi for 1 year. So while he was traveling, in that time he takes two wives. While he was taking the dip in the Ganges, at that time, a maiden, a princess, the daughter of Kauravya, the snake god, happens to fall in love with Arjun. And she kidnaps Arjun, takes him to her abode, and proposes to him and says, please get married to me. Arjun being a Kshatriya, he could not resist, because that was the law for Kshatriyas. And he accepts, and she blesses him that he will be invincible in water. No aquatic creature could defeat Arjun in battle. He gets that blessing and Ulupi, she was Ulupi, and she says that, Arjun, whenever the time comes, when in need, I will be there for your sisters. Subsequently, as he's traveling in his Vanvas period of 1 year, he comes across a king, king of Manipur, Chitravahan, his name was. And Arjun was attracted to the beauty of his daughter. So he approaches the king and asks for the hand of his daughter. So king says, all right, I would like to give my daughter, but on one condition, that I don't have a son, and your son will become the king of this place. So that was my request. So Arjun says, all right, and then he weds that girl, Chitrangada. A son was born to her, whose name was Babruvahan. And he was given to Chitravahan to rule over Manipur. Subsequently, it so happened that after the battle of Kurukshetra, when the fire sacrifice was being held to install Yudhishthir as the emperor of the world, the horse, Ashwamedha Yajna, so the horse was set free and the horse came towards Manipur. At that time, Babruvahan was ruling over, son of Arjun, and he happened to face Arjun. And he welcomes Arjun with sweet words and warm welcome, but Arjun didn't like the way his son behaved with him. And he chastised him and scolded him. He says, you are a Kshatriya. You should not have welcomed me like this. You should face me with arrows, with battle. Give me battle. Let me see how much prowess you possess. Babruvahan was reluctant. And at that time, Ulupi comes there and convinces Babruvahan that you should fight. It is a request from your father, so you should take up the challenge. So Babruvahan, reluctantly, he raises weapons against his father, and a tremendous battle rages. And in that fight, Arjun gets badly wounded and Arjun gets killed. He dies. And Babruvahan, seeing that Arjun is killed, he starts lamenting. And Chitrangada, his mother, also appears there. She starts lamenting, oh my son, what have you done? And Babruvahan feels that his life is not worth living. So he ignites a fire and was about to jump into that, trying to commit suicide. And at that time, Ulupi comes there, the second wife, and says that, don't worry, I have a remedy for him and I will bring him back to life. And Arjun was again revived and he was brought back to life by the celestial jewel which Ulupi possessed. She brought from a loka, and it is explained that Arjun had to face the pain of death just because of his offense at the lotus feet of this great devotee Bhishma. Of course, it was not an offense. Arjun was a great devotee. He cannot commit any offense. But it is a message to all the people of this world that how we should be very careful that even his devotees are not exempted from the reactions of sins just in case if there is a transgression. So therefore, here we can see that the Lord arranges for the Mathura Vasis to evacuate and took them to Dwarka. Similarly, we as devotees, while we are chanting Hare Krishna, we should be very careful. As it is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Hena Krishna Naam Yadi Lah Bahu Bar Tabu Yadi Nahi Prem Nahi Ashrudhar Tabe Jane Aparadhe Tahate Prachur Krishna Prem Bij Tahe Nakare Ankur. So you chant, keep chanting for many, many years. Hena Krishna Naam Yadi Laya Bahu Bar. You have taken the names of the Lord many, many times. But still, if you notice that love of God is not manifesting in your heart, tears of love are not appearing in your eyes, then you should understand. Tabe jane aparadhe tahate prachur. Lot of offenses are going on at the same time. Lot of offenses. Heart is hard, like a stone. It's not becoming soft. तबे जाने अपराधी तहाते प्रचुर, कृष्ण प्रेम बीज ताहे न करे अंकुर। द बीज ऑफ कृष्ण प्रेम इज नॉट एबल टू टेक रूट इन द हार्ट, बिकॉज हार्ट मेकिंग इट हार्ड, इंस्टेड ऑफ मेकिंग इट सॉफ्ट इट्स बिकमिंग वेरी हार्ड, इट्स नॉट एबल टू जर्मिनेट। दैट्स व्हाई समबडी सेड इट वेल, दैट व्हाट इज द संकीर्तन मूवमेंट, इट इज लाइक अ सीडी गिवन बाय दिस ग्रेट सॉफ्टवेयर इंजीनियर ऑफ श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु, and what you have to do, take it and install it in our system, the CD of Sankirtan, install it, but you need to put a pass key, password, and what is that password? Trinadabhi sunechena taruriva sahishnuna amani naman dena kirtaniya sadahare. What happens? That CD plays in our system, it installs bhakti in our hearts, removes all the viruses of kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mat, matsarya. And finally we can chant the holy names with love and devotion. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That is required, you know. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanandi.